Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I'm Rose Vasquez, reading Mark 1, 14 through 20, the beginning of the Galilean ministry. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
I mentioned a few Sundays ago that our liturgical year will have us spending more and more time in the Gospel of Mark. We've been jumping around a little bit over the last few weeks from Matthew to Mark to John, but now the lectionary calendar will have us settling in with Mark in a much more consistent way. And to tell you the truth, Mark is not my favorite gospel. Mark is a little bit hard to settle in with. The other gospels tend to have lengthier accounts with much more detail. The language is prettier, often more poetic in the other gospels. Mark, on the other hand, is bare bones. Most every account is pared down with no extra flourish or elaboration. People use words like concentrated to describe Mark's writing style. His accounts are sometimes said to be telescoped because they can seem like collapsed, minimalistic versions of accounts that we hear in much more detail in the other gospels. Mark's gospel is also known for its fast pace and its sense of urgency. One of Mark's very favorite words is the word immediately. Keep an ear out for it as we read our way through this gospel this year. You're likely to hear it a lot. And while Mark may not be my favorite gospel, it does encourage us, maybe even train us, to pay closer attention. If you blink, you might miss something important. Mark packs a lot into a small space. And because Mark uses words so sparingly, each word, each phrase is worth a deeper dive in search of its meaning. For example, our passage for today is just six brief verses. But when you look at them, you can see that they contain an awful lot. In them, we're reminded of John the Baptist's arrest. We're told again that Jesus was the one who brought good news. We're alerted that God's time, Kairos time, was breaking into Chronos, or ordinary time. We hear Jesus' call to repentance. And then we move to the call of the first disciples, told from Mark's perspective. If you were here last week, you heard about the call of the disciples from John's perspective, out of the Gospel of John. John's version provides this kind of easygoing, meandering, downright charming account. So very different than Mark's account that we have before us today. The only person to speak in today's account, you might have noticed, is Jesus. The disciples don't say a single word. Jesus saw Simon and Andrew fishing, and Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed. Then Jesus saw James and John mending their nets. Immediately, the scripture says again, he called them and they left. Their father, the boat, the hired men, they left and they followed Jesus. There's a lot that goes on in these six verses, a lot of places where one could dig in for a deeper dive. But the piece that stood out to me in reading it this week was that piece about fishing for people. And maybe it stood out because it's a fairly familiar piece. If you grew up in the church, you might have learned a cute song or two about Jesus making us fishers of men. Maybe even this one. Take a listen. It's a catchy tune, right? And the hand gestures, follow me, reeling in the fish. It's cute. But the more we think about that phrase, the more we sit with it, the more we might begin to be a little uncomfortable with it. One commentary I read noted that this passage is more familiar than it is clear. And I thought, that's kind of true. What does it actually mean to fish for people? Because no offense to folks who really like to fish, I know a lot of them, but fishing to me seems a little rough, especially on the fish. For decades, my family has gone with a handful of other families to Cabo in January. And each year a group spends a day on a fishing boat. One, because they enjoy it, and two, because they hope to catch dinner and feed the whole crew. And each year I'm invited to go along if I'd like, and each year I say, no thank you. Way too early to get up in the morning on vacation, and there's way too much in the way of hooks and death and blood out on that boat. I am a confessed hypocrite because I will gladly feast on the abundance of fish, grilled, fried, seared, sushi, any way you like it. I just don't want to bear witness to its demise. So if it's rough for the fish to be caught, wouldn't that also be true for a person? Most definitely. When I was 6 years old, I went fishing with my father on the banks of the Allegheny River in Pennsylvania, which ran right behind my grandmother's cottage. Well, he was actually the one doing the fishing, and I was just kind of standing around watching. He'd cast his line out into the moving water and slowly reel it back in. Well, I stood on a rock several yards behind him, a bad choice in retrospect, because one time when he was swinging the fishing pole back, the line and hook made what looked like a beeline right for me, and I got hooked in the forehead. It didn't really hurt, as best I can recall, but it was pretty shocking. It was pretty alarming. I was definitely his biggest catch of the day. I will make you fish for people. Upon reflection, maybe it's not all that clear or cute. So what does it mean? Why does Jesus use this language? The first thing I can think of is that it's language that was comfortable, relatable for these fishermen, and that really can make all the difference in the world. Both sets of brothers were identified by their profession. When Jesus approached them, they were either casting or mending their nets. Mark makes it clear that they were going about their business, doing their work just like they did every other day. And Jesus engaged them with language that was entirely familiar to them. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And really, what a perfect thing to say to fishermen. Jesus didn't approach these fishermen and quote scripture or spout theology. He didn't approach them and use language related to law or food preparation or tailoring or medicine. No, he came alongside them. He came into their domain and invited them into something new with words and language that made sense to them. Who knows? Perhaps if the earliest disciples had a different trade, Jesus would have approached them in an entirely different way. It makes me wonder what Jesus would say to you or to me if he were extending this same invitation to us today. And the other piece that seems significant, if we step back from the fairly questionable mechanics of literally fishing for people, the other idea that seems significant is that when we say yes to the invitation to follow Jesus, we can count on the fact that we'll be changed. Wasn't that part of what Jesus was saying to those brothers? If you follow me, if you choose to follow me, something significant in your life will shift. Before you fished for fish, now you will fish for people. You'll start at point A, but I'll take you to point B. And it's worth noting that this change is much more than a cosmetic one. It's not a little mixing up of this or that. It's not simply a new assignment or duty or task. It's a change in one's very identity. The way this phrase gets translated from the Greek hinders our full understanding of that a bit. It's generally translated as we hear it here, I will make you fish for people, as if it's a change in activity. But my understanding is that a more accurate translation is something like, I will make you to become fishers for people. It's not just one more new thing for the to-do list, because who needs that? It's about becoming somebody new, about taking on a new identity, a new role, a new purpose. I will make you to become fishers for people. And there are people who talk about this passage, this taking on of a new identity as a follower of Jesus, as if it requires a drastic amount of sacrifice. In order to follow Jesus, they say, you have to be willing to give up everything. You have to be willing to walk away from it all, home, vocation, family, all of it. And while there may be some truth in that, I don't know that that's the whole truth. Because to me, it seems like following Jesus requires letting go of some things, but holding on to others. And the letting go might be of things in our lives that have become heavy or burdensome or lifeless, the things that need to be let go. Because isn't it true that sometimes we maintain identities, patterns, routines, ways of being just out of habit? Our bodies and hearts and neurons have gotten into a groove that may not truly serve us, that may not truly serve others. Who knows? Maybe the fishermen dropped everything and followed because they were ready, so ready to leave something of the old behind. And even as we let go of some things, I think there's every indication in this passage that we also hold on to other things. The fact that Jesus called these early disciples using the language of their trade indicates that they would continue to use their gifts and skills, the God-given particularities of their lives. They just use them in new ways, in a new fashion, for a bigger purpose, for God's purpose. You know how to fish? Great. You can use that, who you are, what you have, and be a part of, a participant in, God's movement of grace, reconciliation, peace, justice, God's work to bring heaven on earth. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers for people. It's probably not what Jesus would say to most of us today, but he still asks, he still invites, he still hopes we'll shed some things, leave something of the old behind in order to take hold of who we might be, who we might still become in this kingdom movement. Not in a way that strips us of who we are or diminishes our gifts, our talents, our styles, our uniqueness. Not in a way that asks us to be somebody we're not, but rather in a way that asks us to be fully who we've been created to be, using who we are and what we've got in support of God's glorious revealing of all that is intended to be. Thanks be to God who invites us not just to watch all of that happening, but to be a central part of it. Follow me. Amen. Will you join with me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for all of the ways that your beauty, your care, your grace touch and transform our lives. We thank you for places and people who provide home and shelter for our bodies, hearts, and spirits. We thank you for your creation and all of its reminders about the power of holding on and letting go. We trust that you, who are grander, bigger, mightier than we can possibly conceive, somehow also draw near and care for us in our particularity with tenderness and care. We lift up prayers for those we know who are struggling, hurting, fearful, lonely, ill, or in any way in need. We pray for healing, encouragement, peace for each one. Give us the courage and compassion to reach out to others when we find ourselves in a place of loss or turmoil, and when we sense that in others. Use us as instruments of healing and hope in one another's lives and in our world. Bring us clarity, openness, meaning, and delight as we respond to your invitation to follow in the footsteps of the divine. Fill our hearts and minds with the knowledge that you invite us not to follow rules or an institution, but to follow Jesus, the one who embodies your perfect love. Guide our steps, light our way, encourage our spirits as we travel these sacred paths with you and with one another. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.